Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malka Winter, and today we will be studying Perek Tzadik Tes, Chapter 99. This is the fifth chapter of Kabbalah Shabbos, and yes, it is reminiscent of some of the other chapters. In its referring to Hashem as King, Hashem in Sion, the discussion of Meisharim, a world that is ethically good. Rav Hirsch explains that what happens in this chapter on our journey through the Messianic era is, as the world learns more, understands more about Hashem and His relationship with mankind, it becomes our mission, our job, to teach everyone about Hashem. Verse 1. Hashem malach yergizu amim, yoshev kruvim tanut haaretz. Hashem reigns, the people tremble. Let the earth quake before him who is enthroned upon the Keruvim. When we spoke about Hashem ruling in the previous chapters, the reaction is the earth rejoices. Or, Aftikon Tevel Baltimot, the world achieves stability. How can they both be true? Rav Hirsch explains, of course, the natural world is thrilled with Hashem's return. But for the nations, it's quite frightening. They are not used to thinking about a God who is close. Even the idea of Hashem ruling is scary. But the idea of Hashem on the Kruvim? That is petrifying. And they literally shake. What does it mean that Hashem is on the Kruvim? Mitzudas David and Rav Hirsch say that Hashem is on the Aron, in the temple, in the Beis HaMikdash, not in the heavens far away. He is right here with us. In Parshas Vayetze, when Yaakov Avinu had his vision, his dream, he saw a ladder with angels first going up and then down. The question is raised, why are they climbing first and then descending? If angels are in the heavens, then the order should be reversed. They should first come down and then return up. The Chizukuni explains that indeed that is the message Hashem was allowing Yaakov to experience. Hashem is not in the heavens, but here on earth. The angels are with God and they are right here with us. Yaakov's response is now understandable. Achein, yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh v'anochi lo yadati. Indeed, Hashem is here, right here in this place. I didn't know. The Ksav v'hakabbalah explains, there is knowing and there is knowing. Of course, Yaakov always knew this. He knew Hashem existed. He knew Hashem was with us. But now he experienced it, saw it. And he was filled with tremendous fear and awe. And Rav Hirsch explains that this understanding that Yaakov had there was not only about how close Hashem is to the world, but how attuned to our actions he is. That Hashem is right here with us and cares what we do, how much our actions count, how powerfully they impact not only our lives, but the entire universe. I am in Hashem's home, and so what I do can change the world. Now that is a petrifying thought. It seems like something of this awe and fear is what the nations will experience with their brand new recognition that Hashem is right here on the Kruvim. Verse 2. Hashem b'tzion gadol v'ramhu al kol ha'amim. Hashem is great and in Tzion and exalted above all the peoples. There is a difference between Gadol and Ram, explains Malbim. Gadol, great, can refer to something that is huge, like a huge castle. And a tiny ant will obviously grasp less of the castle than, say, a giant, who can see much more of it. But both the ant and the giant do experience something of the castle, albeit based on their different levels. But if something is Ram, if it is high up, a faraway planet perhaps, or a star, that's different. That is quite distant and inaccessible. To the nations of the world, Hashem had always been Ram, high up, distant, and inaccessible. To us, Tzion, Hashem has been Gadol. And this is lesson number one that will become our job to teach. Hashem is with us, watching us and loving us. And the point is, Hashem is Gadol, meaning we can have a relationship with Him, even though we are tiny. Verse 3, Yodu Shimcha Gadol V'Nora Kadosh Hu. Let them gratefully praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. The Oz Melach Mishpat Ahev, Ata Konanta Mesharim, Mishpat Utzdaka B'Yakov, Ata Asisa. And verse 4, Mighty is the King who loves justice. You founded fairness. You have treated Yaakov with justice and caring goodness. Lesson number 2 is, of course, this idea of Hashem being right here with us is a new one and perhaps a frightening one. But all Hashem wants from us is for us to lead a life of Meisharim, of ethical and moral goodness. Hashem is coming down to judge us and teach us and empower us to lead our lives with justice and kindness. So Va'oz Melech, Hashem's power is there, but Mishpat Ahev, what Hashem loves, what Hashem wants is justice, for us to lead our lives like that. In Maseches Avodah Zarah Daf Chaf He, the Gemara discusses the use of the term Sefer HaYashar in the book of Shmuel and offers some possibilities of what it is referring to. Sefer HaYashar means the book of the upright. So one opinion is that it is Sefer Bereishis, since it centers around our forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who were so Yesharim, so upright. But Rabbi Elazar's opinion is brought down that it is Sefer Devarim, because there is a phrase in Sefer Devarim, Ve'asisa hayashar v'hatov be'enei Hashem. You shall do what is upright and good in the eyes of God. Now, it does seem to be an unusual choice for a name of a book. Just one phrase among thousands? The Ramban's commentary on this phrase sheds some light. He explains that although there are so many commandments listed in Sefer Devarim, do's and don'ts about our interpersonal relationships, our business dealings, it would still be possible to dot our I's and cross our T's, to technically not break any laws, and still emerge as dishonest and unkind people. This mitzvah informs us, don't miss the point of all those details. It is to create a society of Meisharim, of good and holy and upright people. It is for you to behave ethically and compassionately, and that the Torah is a guidebook towards that goal. Hashem had goals in creating this world, and it wasn't just for us to keep the rules. It was for us to become a nation of Meisharim. Va'asisa hatov v'hayashar is not just a phrase, it's the whole point, the entire raison d'etre of our existence. And now it will become our job, our calling, to share that vision with the entire world. Verse 5, Romimu Hashem Elokeinu v'hishtachavu l'hadom raglav kadosh hu. Exalt Hashem, our God, and bow at His footstool. He is holy. What is Hashem's footstool? Maybe the Beis HaMikdash, where Hashem rests. Rav Hirsch explains this misconception that Hashem is lofty, far off, and disengaged from our world. Hashem's presence is right here. And through our deeds, Hashem connects to our world and is glorified by us in our world. This means that we need to start thinking about our lives down here on earth differently. Kadosh, who, Rav Hirsch says, can refer to earth. It can be holy. Sure, in the heavens, the angels understand God, serve God, and know God. But it is our struggle to get close to Hashem down here, our struggle to emulate Hashem, to see how as much as we can of the castle and copy it here, that is important. Verse 6, Moshe v'Aaron b'Kohanav u'Shmuel b'Korei Shemo, Korim al Hashem v'hu ya'anem. Moshe and Aaron were among his Kohanim, and Shmuel was among those who call his name. They called upon Hashem, and he answered them. Now we get a glimpse of people who really lived their lives like that, Moshe, Aaron, and Shmuel. their relationship with Hashem was so deep and alive. Of all the future prophets, the Medrash says it is only Shmuel who merited to be compared to Moshe and Aaron, based on this pasuk right here. So here is an example of giants whose comprehension of Hashem was so deep. The Malbim references a story in Shmuel chapter 12, where Shmuel HaNavi tells the Jewish people, "As you know, it is harvest time now and not the rainy season at all. I will call out to God and ask him to bring rain." Shmuel cried out, and Hashem did. Literally, those who call his name, they call upon Hashem, and he answered them. And verse 7, Ba'amud anan yedaber alehem, shamru edosav v'chok nasan lamo. He spoke to them in a pillar of cloud. They obeyed his testimonies and the statutes that he gave them. The Ibn Ezra explains this verse as the other side of this relationship between Moshe Aaron and Hashem, while verse 6 speaks of Hashem's closeness and communication with them. Verse 7 points to the other side. Hashem taught his Torah to us through them. They were the intermediaries between Hashem and us. That's how direct and intimate Hashem's relationship was with them. And that example of how close we can get changes our reality as well. Because of course, when we are exposed to a Moshe, whose relationship with Hashem is such a panim al panim, a face-to-face one, that changes our reality as well and broadens and deepens our understanding, our recognition of the realness of Hashem for us as well. Verse 8, Hashem Elokeinu ata anisam, kel nosei hayisalahem v'nokeim al alilosam. Hashem, our God, you answered them. You were a forgiving God because of them, while still avenging their misdeeds. So firstly, how many times did Moshe and Aaron succeed in arousing Hashem's mercy and gaining forgiveness for the Jewish people even when they sinned? 10 times in the desert, and each and every time Moshe davened and Hashem forgave. But what about the last few words of the verse, V'nokeim al alilosam? So there are a few ways that the commentaries analyze this. Radak explains that it is consistent with the beginning of the verse. Hashem, you were so close to these great men. You listened to them, you forgave us because of them, and you stood up for them and avenged their honor when people rose up against them. Like how definitively and miraculously you punished Korach for his rebellion. But others, like Rashi, explain that even though they were so close to Hashem, even though they had this relationship with Hashem, Moshe and Aaron did not get to go into Eretz Yisrael because of the tiny, subtle mistake that they made, lest people think that there is favoritism, bias. Remember, this is the chapter discussing this new way of looking at the world that we, Hashem's ambassadors, will be introducing the other nations to. A world of fairness, justice, and goodness. A world of Meisharim. And verse 9, Romemu Hashem Elokeinu v'hishtachavu lahar kacho ki kadosh Hashem Elokeinu. Exalt Hashem our God and bow at his holy mountain, for Hashem our God is holy. The Malbim notes the difference between verse 5 and verse 9. There we say kadosh hu, he is holy. Now we say ki kadosh Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem our God is holy. For in this chapter, we have come to a huge realization that Hashem is here with us, Yoshev Kruvim, and that he is not just caring for us, there are expectations that he has for us, to be a pure Tzelem Elokim, image of God, to live our lives ethically and morally, to be a force of good in this world, to, so to speak, walk with Hashem, to be a mamlachas kohanim v'goy kadosh, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation that we were always intended to be. And there is another dimension here as well. For it is possible to truly live a life of meisharim, of ethics and morality, to see the Beis HaMikdash as holy and treat it with the utmost respect as is appropriate. But what these last three words remind us is don't forget what you are doing this for. Don't forget that Meisharim and Kedusha, they are not just virtues. Don't forget Ki Kadosh Hashem Elokeinu. You are holy because you are connected to me. You are ethical because you are emulating God, and God is holy. Thank you for studying together Li'iloi Nishmat Sonia Finkelstein Chana Sara Bat Chaim Leib.